produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Greetings, everyone. You are listening to United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. My name is Pastor Tandwe Nyoni from Johannesburg, South Africa, and the name of our program is called Unqede On Endiza Nathi. This show is produced by Caleb Padgett, and welcome to the broadcast today. It is the day. It is the day that the Lord has made. Therefore, we are rejoicing and are glad in it. Jesus. As we begin this day, as we begin the radio program with the United Radio Network, USA World, Father, we thank you for deliverance. We thank you for laughter. We thank you for peace. We thank you for protection. You are the creator of the universe. Baba, ekusene mintambama, sibizi igama liphezukwa wonke amagama, igama lenkosi yethu Jesu. You loved us, Lord, before we even loved you. We thank you for sending your son, your only son, begotten son, the name of Jesus, who died for us on the cross. It is by that name that we are saved. And this day, we humble ourselves before your throne and we say, holy is your name. Father, we thank you for deliverance. We thank you for peace. We thank you for this program. We thank you for this day in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Bazalwane, I greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As you remember, for the past weeks, we've been covering the topic on the subject your tand, or your of love. You know, love is a doing word. It's a verb. It's a verb. It's a doing word. And obviously, we're reading our text to 1 Corinthians 13. In fact, if I were to confess, I grew up being taught about, you know, the kinds of love, philia, eros, agape, when you study the types of love, endeboshenda mata, all these types of love. But nobody really made me understand uthando njengo 1 Corinthians 13. You know, we were taught, like, you want these things, okay, in fact, we were taught wrongly, basically, we last uthando. You know, the whole part that love never fails, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, we were never taught that kind of utando. It's like we're fundu sakuta, unamtlanju muntu kona kusasa akekho. Thank God for Bible colleges for teaching us ama characteristics of tando, the types of tando that we appreciate. However, for me, the greatest teacher your tando was the Bible, is the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13. So we still continue with our Bible, and I'm planning. We'll go back to chapter 13. We'll read from verse 4 to partly verse 8. Or maybe we should start with verse 1 again. It's if I speak in the language of men or of angels, but do not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not love, again, I think, besichaza, what is love? Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Then first part here, verse 8, love never fails. You know, I've never had such explanation or turn on 1 Corinthians 13. And for me, it has been a test for many years. And for today, I want us to zoom in on this part. It keeps no record of wrongs. And, you know, it keeps no record of wrongs. It keeps no. Remember when Jesus says we must forgive seven times in a day. It keeps no record of wrongs. We are social beings. We are human beings. We live in communities. We live with families. We live with ourselves. How many times must we keep no record of wrongs done to ourselves, done to others, or things that we do to others? Love keeps no record of wrongs. Let's just think about it just for a second. Sisacabanga that just part, that love keeps no record of wrongs. I want us to also look at, we read NIV, so now I want us to read in New King James Version, but Connor will just read from verse 4 to verse 8. It love suffers long. It is kind. Love does not envy. It does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Then the very part that I love the most, love never fails. This version doesn't have the part 80. It keeps no record of wrongs, but I'll assume it bears all things. You know, it keeps no record of wrongs. You grow up in a family. We grow up in families, and all families have their own characteristics or their own DNA. And this is, I would assume, or I would just, from the social work perspective, I would say your foundational block has been your family. And kukanjalo, see, what is the word? Sikhula ngokuhluka. Some families, you have nuclear families. Some you have extended families. Some you have single parent families. So get dependent. And all these families have their own dynamics. Some it's loving families. Some it's warm. Some it's very abusive. So it depends which kind of family you come from. Some people, they have history or they have stories to tell about the kind of families that they've been through. I remember when I was still a student social worker during my fourth year, I was in Cape Town at the University of Western Cape, and we did our practical at Safeline, which was an institution that was dealing with child sexual abuse. Not only were they dealing with children who were abused sexually, but they were also looking or helping survivors and perpetrators of sexual violence. And at the time, you'll find adult survivors of child sexual abuse, in fact, of incest, who will come up and they needed help in dealing with what had happened in the past. And it went back to what was happening in their own families. You'll find families who were rich, but who were incest was a part of their lives. The money had nothing to do, not the sin of incest within the family, and people were scarred because of what had happened in their families, and it's almost like a person has grown up, now is an adult, 40-year-old, 30-year-old, and the person who had sexually abused them, they were at the older age, so it's the grandfather or it was the father, but at that time, and then you ubone the pain that people had to go through for things that were hidden, evil inside their families. And now, when you talk about love not keeping a record of wrong, being a Christian, okay, I wasn't a fully blown Christian at that time. I was just a student. I might have received Christ in high school, but I didn't understand what Christianity was all about then. But I'm just imagining, Ori, had we had a chance of seeing a person who has been through sexual abuse at that time with the knowledge of Christ, how much impact would it have been if people had gone through the process of healing and asking for forgiveness and forgiving the next person who has done that, and also at some point have a clean record where my grandfather did this, my grandparents have done this, but I've reached a level where I'm no more keeping it as a record of wrong. I'm not saying the act of sexual abuse is okay. I am not saying that. I'm not nullifying it at all. I'm just coming up and saying after having done all things, after having gone for counseling, after having cried all those tears, after having screamed and felt the pain, but in all things work together for good, then you reach a level of saying, okay, this has happened. How do we move on? A clean slate. We keep no record of wrong. What about a woman who has been abused by a husband or a family that has a history of abuse in the house, where the father has beaten the mother and the children have gone on to beat on their wives when they grow older? It became a pattern. What about that kind of a family? In fact, that has nothing to do with the social economic status. It just has to do with the DNA, the spiritual connection of the family. What happens for a daughter who grows up in that family, that they get to use to the fact that Urai took shy? I'm not becoming political, ne? I don't know why I'm going this route. I wasn't thinking this route when I started this talk. But in all essence, love keeps no record of wrongs. When we have gone through counseling, after you have told your story, after you have cried the tears, after you have fought a good fight, then you say, God, I forgive. I ask for forgiveness, even for my family who has done this generationally, because families have a tendency of impacting you with whatever that of causing you to carry through their sins. I mean, the book of Daniel, Daniel had to repent on behalf of the tribe of Israel. How many of us can repent for our nation, for our nations, for what is happening in the world? Because we have a tendency of carrying sin through. Not only Jesus, it's families, it's communities, it's nations. We carry things through which are negative, which are sinful in the eyes of God. Hence the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. Baba, help us in South Africa. Help us as families. Help us communities. So that we can say love keeps no record of wrongs. Because a whole lot of people are saying, how do you expect us to forget? How we expect us to keep no record of wrong whilst I'm still in pain, while I was raped last week, while there's no food in the house? How do we keep a record of keep no record? But what about Jesus? What about Jesus, who had to carry the cross, who had to be whipped on our behalf? What about him who carried no record of wrong? What about him who had to on our behalf? The Bible says that he who knew no sin was made sin for us. He had no sin. He has done nothing wrong. But because of our iniquity, because of our weight, till this day, he does not keep that record on our behalf. In fact, he's seated in the right hand of the Father, meditating for us, praying for us, and receive him as our Lord and Savior. Jesus, Pause. Let's think about that. So we have no excuse, bazalwane. Most of us can say, no, Jesus was God on earth. Yes, he's God on earth. He was God on earth. He's still God. However, that is why Ati, he's the finisher of our faith. That is why we must receive him as your Lord and Savior. That is why you must follow him. That is why he's the bread of life. That is why fanekube wuye olandela yena osibhalele phansi. In fact, uJesus walked on this earth. He became hungry. He was thirsty. Jesus. He was almost killed, humiliated. UJesu, oyinkosi umsindisi. So we basically have no excuse. Asikwazi ukuthi uJesu yena hayi yena ngoba he did feel the pain. In fact, even more. Can you imagine ushaywe ngemvubu enensimbi esusa iskin? No, just for a second, imagine. Then, bese uyakokotelwa ngepikiri ezinkulu epolini for nohal. Imagine. Ubuhlungu abuzwile. The Bible says, love keeps no record of wrong. Today, he does not keep that against us. In fact, uthi makezohamba makedla umthendo lokho nabafundi bakhe uthi Jesus. Uthi do this in record in remembrance of mina. It's a new covenant. Meaning ukuthi igazi lakhe lasithenga. Bonke lokhu bube sizwile emhlabeni nokuhlanya no-abuse. Irape, inhlupheko, you name it, everything, even in death itself, he paid for it. He paid for it. He is God. Hence, we must receive him as our Lord and Savior. Asikeni phethini bazalwane. I remember ngisase high school, imvuselelweni sisahamba sithanda ukujoyina amasonto athizeni. But kuthule ukuthi awusiki iphethini kaJehova. Asikeni nje le phethini kaJehova. Asikeni iphethini kaJesu. Let's follow him. In fact, asifundeni kena. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. You are God and there is no other. If there is anyone out there who's saying, Pastor T, yeah, you are talking about this Jesus, but we don't know him. We have not met him. In fact, I have been through so much pain. There is no way that he can even change my life. My sister, my brother, my mother, my uncle, Jesus, out there, glomhlaba, he is able. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh, Jesus Christ, uyinkosi nomsindisi, he is the great I am. Umhlaba njengoba umile, ume ngenxa yakhe. Jesus, uthi nguumvini. John 15, you are the branches. Ohlala kumina, nami ngihlala kuyena, uyothela iyithelo. Ngesilungu, angithi ngithi ungumvini, uthi you are the Jesus. He's the vine. And he says, my father is a gardener. Jesus. It's time to receive him. If you want to do this prayer with me and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Make me your child. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving my sins. Thank you for making me a child of God, a born again Christian. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have made that prayer with me, let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for each and every person emhlabeni wonke jikelele. Othe namhlanje wabamkela uJesu njengoNkosi nomsindisi wathi uJesu angena enhlizweni. Baba, kule ntambama, kule busini, kule langa lanamhlanje, I pray that you cover each and every person that has received you this day. I pray that you protect them in the boshenda mata. I pray that you teach them your word, guide them, and let them understand who they are in you. And if there is anyone who has a pain in their hearts, in their pain in their bodies, I pray for healing over their bodies in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Bazalwane, for for joining in this session. Before I just salute you goodbye, I just need to do this quick announcement. By the way, like I always say, I'm from Unite Prodigy, which is a company that does motivation, counseling, and strategic planning. We are available on Zoom most of the time. If people want, we'll offer counseling services over the internet. Obviously, we charge for services. They're not free. The number to WhatsApp us is I'm giving you the email address. The email address is ungede@yahoo.com. Ungede, it's ungede@yahoo.com. Then the WhatsApp number is 0846693615. 0846693615. Then on the 29th of August this year, we are having a motivational wellness session on Zoom. We start at 10 o'clock in the morning. We have three sessions, in fact, the 10 a.m. session, the 12 p.m. and the 2 p.m. 10 a.m., 12 p.m. and 2 p.m. That is South African time. We have three speakers. Lebo Ntsuke is talking about financial wellness, financial wisdom. Then there's Ms. Chazile, who's talking about umshado, the expense umshado. Umshado, it's marriage, for those of you who don't know isiZulu. Then we have Prophetess Tsepang Mngoma, who's speaking on personal branding. Personal branding. It's a packed up session. And for Sari Nation and Music, we have the daughter and the young lady by the name of Ntomfuthi Mahlobo, who's going to sing for us on the day. So you are invited. South Africa, I invited people in the US, people in Canada, people in everywhere all around the world, in Africa, everywhere. If you have access to computer, or in fact, everybody has access to computer these days, we are available. And if you need us to send you the poster on WhatsApp or email, let me just give you the phone number again for WhatsApp and the email address. The email address is ungede@yahoo.com. ungede@yahoo.com. Then the number to send a WhatsApp message is 0846693615. 0846693615 is the South African number. Thank you very much. This is Pastor T. Tandwe Nyoni from Ungcede Prodigy signing off with God's love. God bless and good day. Bye bye.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Well, praise God. We give God the glory one more time for having given us the opportunity to connect in His Word and to fellowship in His Word, to have a great time in His presence and in the Word of God. We thank God coming all the way from South Africa, bringing greetings to all the brethren around the world on glorifying God with Pastor Dreadwell Zabani from South Africa. Well, today on the program, I want us to look at the question of one of the most important things that we need to consider as and when we continue to glorify God. It becomes very, very important for us to understand that there are certain things that we need to look into and that we need to make sure that they are in place in order if we are ever going to be able to glorify God. And one of those things which becomes very, very important for us to glorify God is to deal with the past effectively. So I want us to look into the question of dealing with the past, in order to glorify God. Bad things that happen to us leave us with bad memories, which can become quite a challenge to deal with. These negative events imprint bad memories in our minds, which we then have to overcome in order to move on with our lives, especially after a bad experience in life. It could be in your in your life in general. It could be in business. It could be in your studies, in your relationship. It could be in your marriage. It could be that you've been through a divorce. It could be that it's family related. But these things can become, you know, the bad events that have happened in the past can become quite a challenge to overcome and to deal with. And they can actually prevent us from moving on, moving forward, and glorifying God in our lives. So how then do we make sure that we overcome these things and that we are able to glorify God despite what has happened to us in the past? And I want us to look at, before we move any further, look at the effects of bad memories. In other words, what bad memories can do in a person's life. Number one is that, you know, they present you with very, very difficult questions to which you seek to find answers. You know, these are some of the questions that come into a person's mind when they have gone through bad experiences. Number one is, how do I go on after this? There are people battling with this question as we speak. What do I do now? Now that this has happened, now that I've been through that experience, now that I've been affected in that way, now that that has happened, what now? What do I do now? There are people who are confused and don't know what to do. The other question is, can I survive this episode? And if so, how do I survive it? You know, you don't know what to do now going forward after the experience that you have had. Now that you experienced what you experienced, what do you know? How can you survive this episode? And if so, how do you survive? Then the other question is, what do people think of me now? There are people who are so concerned about what people think about them that it actually cripples them, and they are not able to move forward and do the things that they are called to do and do the things that they're purposed to do because of the fact that they view themselves in the light of what people think of them based on past experiences, based on past events, based on past, events that happened in the past. Now, then you begin to prioritize the question of what people think of you now that you've been through that. Now that, like, for instance, a person who's been through a divorce or a person who's been through a very terrible experience, you then ask yourself this question, what do people think of me now? The other question is, can I still make it in life? After a very bad and terrible experience, the question does come in one's mind, can I still make it after this? Now, I want us to look at how do we go on after a bad and pleasant or terrible experience in life. Step number one is leave the past behind. That's the first thing that you need to do, is to leave the past behind. Let it go. Let go of it. Move beyond the past. Move past, you know, your past incidents and past events. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, I'm reading the King James, and it says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? It will make a way, I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. This is God speaking. Now, based on this verse of scripture, Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, a number of important points emerge. One of them is, don't live your life on the dictates of past events. Don't live your life on the dictates of past events. Don't let the things that happened in your past shape your life. Don't let the things that happened in your past determine the direction that your life ought to go or that your life is going. That's the first thing. Leave the past behind. In other words, let go of it. Arm yourself with a thinking and an attitude that says, what happened in the past is in the past, and I'm leaving it behind. I'm leaving it in the past. I'm moving on because I know that there are greater things that God has in store for me. So I'm not going to get on the path and dwell on the path to such an extent that I become crippled and not be able to move forward. Number two is make a serious effort to put the past behind you. It's not going to come easy. It's not going to come automatically. It's not going to come naturally. But you have to put forth the effort. You have to make the effort to put the past behind you. In other words, there's no one who can do it for you. No one who can do it on your behalf. You have to make the effort to put the past behind you. Number three, don't let temporary setbacks determine your path of life. Don't let temporary setbacks determine your path of life. When certain bad and unpleasant things and experiences and events occur and unfold in life, they often set us back from our quest to attain to the purpose of God and the calling of God in our lives. They often set us back momentarily and temporarily so from pursuing our goals and our objectives in life. So now it becomes very important for us that once we have these kind of experiences, we don't allow these temporary setbacks to determine our path of life. In other words, you don't end up throwing in the towel and giving up simply because you have been set back temporarily because of a bad experience in your life. Don't let that determine your path of life. Choose the path of life that you know God wants you to pursue, and pursue that with all your might and with all determination, not on the basis of what happened to you in the past. Number four that I want us to look at is build your character on the word of God, not on your past events and experiences. Build your character on the word of God and not on the past events and experiences. That's very, very important. Or the building of character is one of the most important things that must be prioritized and must be treated with the utmost seriousness if we are going to move past our, you know, beyond our past experiences and move on to glorify God by fulfilling everything that He has told us to do, by being fruitful and multiplying in everything that we do. So I want us to take a moment and look at character because it's very, very important. Build your character on the word of God. What does that mean? What does character entail? What does the building of character entail? Number one, I'm going to look at a few things here. The first thing that becomes an important building block to character is morality. Don't lose your moral values because of past experiences, because of unpleasant experiences, because of bad experiences, because of being treated badly in the past, because of, you know, negative things that could have occurred and happened in the past as you are moving on in your life. Maintain your morality. Don't lose your moral values. Always seek to hold on to your moral values. Don't let past bad and unpleasant experiences cause you to lose your moral values. There are many people who end up losing their moral values because of events of the past. The second thing that character entails is honesty. Be honest to yourself. Be honest to God. Be honest to everyone in all that you do. Don't now begin to become dishonest simply because you were treated badly in the past, simply because you had bad experiences, simply because of events that were very unpleasant that could have happened in the past. Always be honest in all that you do. Number three is integrity. And by integrity, what I mean is be principled in your behavior. In everything that you do, live according to certain godly, biblical, scriptural principles. Choose your principles carefully. Choose your principles deliberately and decide, make a decision and a commitment to live according to those principles. Be principled. third person. Don't lose your integrity because of past events. Number four is respectability. Always make sure that you maintain your respectability. Let your behavior force people to respect you. You will remember that Paul said to Timothy, let no one look down on you because you are young. Instead, become in speech and purity, in love and faith and in behavior, an example to all those who believe. So then you must make sure that you do not lose your respectability, either because of past and unpleasant experiences, mistakes that you may have committed in the past and people are aware of them. Don't let that make you lose your respectability. Always let your behavior force people to respect you. Behave in such a way that even if people desire to disrespect you and desire to dishonor you and desire to look down on you and despise you, but your behavior will force them to acknowledge the fact that it is impossible to disrespect someone who behaves in this particular way. The next one is rectitude. And by rectitude, I mean live a decent life. Be decent about everything you do. Be decent in the manner in which you speak. Be decent in your dress code. Be decent in your behavior. Be decent in your interaction with other people. Be decent in everything and about everything that you do in and around your life. And then the next one is honor. That is also one of the most important building blocks of character. Be honorable in all that you do. And the next one is courage. Now, by courage, I mean act in spite of feelings or fear. You see, often when things happen in our lives, they can instill in us a fear to take action, a fear to move forward because of, you know, the little voice of fear would speak somewhere in the back of our mind to say, what if you do this and you fail? What if you don't succeed? What if you get hurt again? What if something bad happens to you? What if you try this and it doesn't work out? What if people don't support what you do? What if people don't agree with what you do? That voice that says, what if, can cripple your courage and cause you not to be able to move forward. You know, you need to act, even though those things do come and you experience those feelings of fear and doubt, but you need to then be determined to take action in spite of those feelings. That is being courageous. And God said that to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. He says, only be thou strong and very courageous. In other words, act in spite of feelings of fear. In other words, act in spite of threats around you, threats that stand in your way. Take action, even though, you know, you can see the circumstances, even though you can see the environment that you're in, that it may not necessarily be favorable, but take action. We're going to understand this as we go on. Then the next one that becomes an important building block to character is goodness. You need to understand that bad experiences have a way of twisting and eroding one's character if allowed to do so. Move forward. You need to make an effort to make sure that you put the past behind and that you build your character on the word of God. Question then that comes is, what kind of effort is needed to achieve this? Right. We're going to look at the number of steps that we need to follow and guided by the word of God. Number one, believe what God says, not what people say or what the sect say. In other words, don't focus on what people are saying about you. Don't focus on what people are saying about your situation. Don't focus on what people are saying about your course of action. Don't focus on what people are saying as you continue to seek to obey God. Believe what God says. Don't believe what people say. Don't even look at the environment and say, because I see that the environment is not so favorable, it's going to be difficult for me to do this. No, believe what God says. If God said you can do it, then you can do it. If God said you will do it, then you will do it. Believe what God says. Now, it becomes clear from there that in order to believe to God all the time. Because if you don't talk to him, you're not going to know what he said. You have to read what he has written in his word by inspiration. And that's how you familiarize yourself with what God said. And in other words, you need to stay focused on the word, meditate on the word, read the word day and night, each and every day. Number two is don't focus on the problem. Don't focus on the problem. If you do, you magnify it in your mind. You make it big in your mind, and then it becomes a mountain that becomes, you know, seems to be impossible for you to climb. So don't focus on the problem. Number three, don't focus on the wrong that was done. This is one of our weaknesses as human beings, is that when, certain people do wrong to us, we then focus on the wrong that was done. And we remain there. We get stuck on the wrong that was done. And it cripples our ability to move forward because we are still stuck on the wrong that was done. We're thinking and meditating and analyzing so much the wrong that was done. So don't focus on the wrong. And the next one is don't focus on the pain. You know, when you've had a painful experience, it's very tempting to keep focusing on the pain that you have felt, because that pain also cripples you, because it threatens you from moving forward because of the fear that what if I get hurt again? What if I experience the same pain again? Or what if I experience an even worse pain than before? And so it becomes important that you don't focus on the pain. Focus on the word of God. That's the next step. Focus on the word of God. In other words, meditate on the word of God day and night. God said that to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Meditate on the word of God. Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3 also teaches us to meditate on the word of God. In verse 1, it talks about your behavior. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law does he meditate day and night. And then verse 3 talks about the result. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, whose leaves do not wither, and who brings forth fruit in his season. In other words, you will prosper in everything that he does. So now this is the result of meditating on the word of God. But the result of meditating on the pain, the result of meditating on the wrong done, the result of meditating on the problem, the result of meditating on the bad experiences is always one that will take you away from achieving your goals and your objectives. It's always one that will move you away from prosperity, but it will keep you trapped in a situation where you're not able to move forward. So the next step then is build your faith in God. Build your faith in God. It's very, very important that you learn to build your faith in God. Don't build your faith in people. Don't build your faith in circumstances. Build your faith in God. Don't build your faith even on your experiences, but build your faith in God. Now, what is faith? Faith is a firm persuasion. It's a conviction based upon hearing. That's what faith is. In other words, if you hear what God says, his word convicts you, and you become persuaded about what God says. That's what faith is. And that's according to Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things, hope, evidence of things, but it's a firm persuasion. You are firmly persuaded. You are convinced. You become convicted about what God said. In other words, you believe that what God has promised, he's also able to do. What God has promised, he's also able to deliver. Glory be to God forevermore. Now, if you look at faith how faith is used in the Bible, we'll take two examples. For instance, in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 and verse 5, Paul writes these words. He says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So we see now that how faith is used in Scripture is that faith is anchored in God. Faith is built him and following him would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So put your faith in the power of God. Believe in what the power of God can achieve for you. Believe in what the power of God can do for you. The other one is, you know, when you talk about faith, you're always going to find that in the way it is used in the Bible, it is always connected with faithfulness. In Romans chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible says, "For what if some did not believe? What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" You see, you've got to remain faithful to your faith in God. You've got to remain faithful to your conviction and your persuasion to what God says and to his word. That's why he says, if others do not believe, shall that make the faith of God without effect? Not at all. In other words, don't lose your faith simply because other people are losing their faith and they are, you know, letting go of their faith. Remain always in faith. Stay in faith and keep believing what God says. Now, I want us to quickly look at the elements of faith. Faith, we build our faith in the invisible God as distinct from faith in man. We build our faith in the invisible God as distinct from faith in man. Now, let's look at that. What is that? What does that mean? Number one, it's a firm conviction producing a full acknowledgement of both revelation or truth. In other words, live your life by revelation knowledge. Live your life according to the truth of the word of God. Number two, faith in the invisible God is a personal surrender to him. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to be called his children." In other words, faith is a personal surrender to God. You surrender to him as his child. You surrender to him as your father. Number three, faith in the invisible God is a conduct inspired by such surrender. You see it when you look at 2 Corinthians 5, 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So now your conduct, you begin to behave in a way that is inspired by your surrender to God as his child and as him being your father. Number four, it is a faith that does not rest on an opinion held in good faith, but faith that rests on God himself. An example of that is Abraham. We read his story like in Romans chapter 4, verse 17 and verse 20 and 21. Paul relates the story of how Abraham believed God and had his faith anchored in God. Now, the next point that I want us to look at is, in order to move beyond the past and glorify God, is deal with anxiety from a standpoint of faith. It means, I'm going to bring 2 points here. Number one is continually offer prayer with faith firmly anchored in God. Philippians 4, 6 says, "Be careful for nothing," or don't be anxious about anything, "but in all things through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." So you need to be careful not to tolerate anxiety or worry because it will ruin your soul. God alone can help you, and he will do so. He will be able to help you if you will pray about everything that happens and give thanks to God for everything. The second point, according to Luke chapter 10, verse 4 to 24, you will read the story in your time. The Bible, you know, teaches us to align our priorities right. You need to prioritize those things that are important. Now, I want us to move over into the writings of Jeremiah quickly. In chapter 29, we read from verse 8 up to verse 13. He says, "For thus says the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners be in the midst of you, that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which you cause to be dreamed. They prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after these 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you." Listen to that. "In causing you to return to this place. For I pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And he shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Now, that's what it means. It means your future is in God's hands. You need to keep your faith in the fact that your future is in God's hands. Don't worry about your future. It's in the hands of the Lord. God has already taken care of you. He says he knows the thoughts he thinks toward you. Why? Because he performs his good word toward you. Glory be to God. Now, Philippians 1, verse 6, Paul concurs with this and he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I just want to give you the full assurance that God will give you your future. He will perform the good work which he has started. He will finish everything that he has started in your life. And in conclusion, I read Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 and 34. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Listen, don't worry about your future. Don't be anxious about your future. It's in God's hands. If your faith is entered in God, you know that your future is in God's hands. Because in verse 19 of Isaiah 43, he said, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. If you put your faith in God, he will make a way where there is no way. He will make a way in the wilderness and a way even where there are rivers. May the good Lord continue to bless you as you continue to deal effectively with your past events. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.
Well, 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 greetings, greetings to everyone listening to Finding My Way Radio World from the USA. And we thank God that we are greeting you from the Republic of South Africa. My name is Benjamin Kuswani, and yes, this is your Destined for Glory program. And we thank God that this is the moment again we celebrate to be alive in Christ Jesus. And we can declare, lift up our voices and declare, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank God for yet another day that he has granted for us to rejoice in his presence, and most of all, to open up to the unadulterated, inerrant, undeniable, unchangeable word of the living God. This is the word that he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall abide forever. So we greet you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, the name that God has exalted, that it be the name that is above every other name, and that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue confess that he, Jesus Christ, is Lord, even unto the glory of God our Father. So let's pray together right now as we prepare ourselves for the word of God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you again for yet another day that you made for us to rejoice and be glad in. And Father, we thank you that even as we separate ourselves unto your word, unto you, we are receiving life from your word. And I pray for every listener right now, I speak the release of your word, the creative power of your word, the interceptive power of your word, the governmental authority of your word into every situation and every circumstance that every listener might be going through right now. And we declare in the name of Jesus that the power of your word is able to bring forth the desire of your heart, Father, in the spirit, in the soul, in the body, in the character, and in the material, in the relationship. We receive therefore your word as the word that is able to pierce through to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, bone and marrow, and searching the intents of our heart, and most of all, transforming us and giving us the desires that are of your heart. Father, I pray, let your word bring hope, let your word bring healing right now, let your word bring restoration unto somebody's life, in the name of Jesus, and by faith, we receive the power of your word manifesting your supernatural intents in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dear listener, as we have been going through, we are consumed, even as you know that the title of our program is Destined for Glory. We are consumed by this, that heaven has prepared to gather us unto the weight of the glory that God has preserved us for, and God has preserved that glory for in our life. He's gathering us to the weight of that glory. Maybe if you want to understand it in a better way, in a way that will make it clear for you, there is nothing clearer than the word of God. And we thank God that God has created all things by his word. And when you remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, it says to us here, for our light affliction, know that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal, and then it says, weight of glory. So God is gathering us to that weight of glory. I do believe the principle of the weight of glory, it says to us, so that we will not be tossed to and fro by diverse winds of doctrine. Even as he says in Ephesians chapter 4, he says we have received the gift of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, to the intent that we may be brought to the fullness of the stature of the measure of Christ, so that having received this weight, we may not be tossed to and fro by diverse winds of doctrines. You see, my friend, the Spirit of God knew that we will be living in such a time as this, in a time where information is full all over the world. Remember that in the book of Daniel chapter 4, when Daniel had seen and received the interpretations from God of the times that were coming, God said to Daniel, now Daniel, close the book. In the vision, he says, close the book, for these things are for a time that is appointed, a time that is still coming. And then he closed by saying, for knowledge shall increase. Yes, this is the season that I believe the Spirit of God in the book of Daniel was seeing about us, that knowledge will increase. So it is in the midst of this knowledge that is increasing that we need to be gathered to the weight of the glory of God as he manifests himself in Christ Jesus, who is the very glory of God, in Christ Jesus, who is the Word himself, as the Word says in John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So my friend, this is the weight. This is the weight of the Word we are preaching right now. For we are not speaking the words of this world. We are not speaking the words of the pride of the world. No, we are speaking the words that are power. For when we read the Word again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20, the Word of God says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of words, but it is the matter of power. Yes, the kingdom of God is not a matter of words, but a matter of power. You see, a lot of words, my friend, can be just like the idling of a car. When a car, a vehicle, is just idling and it is not moving, you cannot gauge the power of that engine or of that car. But the minute you want to know the power of this car, you need to engage the gears of that car and begin to know the power from the first gear to the last gear. As you engage them, you need to know, you connect the power of that engine in the spirit. same way, my brother, we are at this place when our God is gathering us to the weight of his glory. So the question is, how do we navigate our position? How do we position ourselves? How do we stand in a way that can stay connected to the frequency of heaven so that we will be gathered to the weight of the glory of God? I believe the greatest challenge that we will focus on today is the challenge of our faith. I believe God is calling us to the place of faith again. Yes, faith again. And we are going to embrace this confirmation of the call of God for this season as faith again, as we read in the Word from the book of St. Luke. We're going to read from the book of St. Luke together, St. Luke chapter 18. As we read St. Luke chapter 18, where Jesus is giving the parable of a widow woman who troubled the judge for the judge to fight for her cause or for her case. But now at the end of this parable, Jesus gives the lesson out of it. He gives the lesson out of it, how this woman troubled the judge. And Jesus said in St. Luke chapter 18 and verse 6, the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. What did the unjust judge say? The unjust judge had just responded and said, even though I'm a hard man, even though I have no regard for God or for man, but the way this woman is continually troubling me to fight for her case, I have no alternative, but I will have to help her, lest she weary me. Now Jesus is picking it up from there, where we are reading in verse 6. He says, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God therefore avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? Jesus is asking, if this judge who's hard of heart, if this judge who has no compassion naturally, has been impacted by the continual pestering of this woman, widow woman, if this judge could turn around and show mercy on the widow woman, shall not God, Jesus is asking, shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? Now note that Jesus is using the word elect, the elect of God. Why? Because he has already come as the Messiah. He was connecting that I have come for the election, for those that were connected, God's election, by receiving salvation even through faith. And that's why he says, will God not avenge his elect who cry unto him day and night, though he bears long with them? Note that. He says, God will avenge. But here is the challenge. He says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. But nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Jesus is asking the question, will the Son of Man find faith when he returns or when he comes on the earth? This is a question, my brother and my sister, that I believe is facing us in this hour, in the midst of all the noises of the world. From the four corners of the world, we even see the fulfillment of the prophecies of Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus warned us about the times of the end, where he said, in the end time, we shall see and hear of the rumors of the wars. We shall hear of earthquakes. Today, we are not only hearing of them, we see the earthquakes in Mexico. We see the hurricanes out in the United States of America. We see storms throughout all the world, all the things that Jesus spoke about. He said, these things shall come before the end comes. These things now are here. The question is, how will we stand? Number one, in the them, for they are but just the beginning of the birth pains. They are the beginning of sorrows. It's like creation is travailing in the midst of this, and creation is travailing to see the elect of God, the sons of God. And the question is, how will the sons of God stand in the midst of all that's going on right now? As we read that Luke 18, it says to us, the sons of God, the elect of God, will connect for the manifestation of the glory of God in the earth by standing in faith. Yes, by connecting the faith that Jesus wondered about, that will the Son of God find faith when he comes? Will he find faith in the earth? And I do believe that you and I are still right here in the earth to connect the elect call of faith. And how will we then connect this call of faith? This is how it will happen. The mandate and the challenge for us about faith is no longer just to talk faith, but to clean up the channel of faith. I believe the Spirit of God is working at the cleansing of the channel of faith, so that our faith will be purified. The channel of our faith will be purified, so that we can intently hear what heaven is saying in the midst of all that's going on in the world. Because I know and I believe, my friend, that you and I bear witness that this Satan that is taking place throughout the world, it's summoning us to a place of going beyond what we see with our eyes. Why? Because the clean channel of faith teaches us that we do not walk by sight, but we walk by faith. So back to the question that Jesus is asking. He says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Listen to the question. Will he? He could have just said, will he find faith? But he uses that word. Will he really find faith? Which means, will he find truthful faith? Will he find purified faith? Will he find focused faith, faith without destruction? And will he find quality faith? That's the question. Will it be truthful? Will it be focused? Will it be quality faith that he will find in the earth? I believe Jesus asked this question knowing that there will be some kinds of belief or beliefs that are so unreal, yet they can somehow sway even the minds of the elect. And the challenge is, will he find faith? Let's find out what kind of faith is Jesus expecting to find when he comes. This is the faith like of a woman who is robbed of justice, who is robbed of that which is rightfully hers, or of that which the enemy has tried to rob her of. The kind of faith that Jesus is looking forward to find in the earth, my friend, is faith where you and I are ready to press through. You and I are ready to connect that, yes, we are the elect of God. We are standing in Christ Jesus, who declared that upon the rock of my revelation, I build my church, and the gates of hell, which is the expressions of evil, which is the injustices that I believe this woman was facing. And Jesus is saying, when I come, will I find the faith that is able to stand upon the rock of my foundation and square up with the manifestations of evil, square up with the gaze of hell, the expressions of evil of the day, and be able to break through and say, we break through the judgment standard of the day. What is this? When Jesus used the parable of the judge, you must understand with me that the judge speaks about the ultimate standard of judgment in a territory. The ultimate judgment standard in a territory. But right now, even as we broadcast worldwide. We are no longer just talking about the standard of judgment in a territory. We're talking about the standard of judgment throughout the whole world, where every creation is affected equally right now. And God knew about this situation, and that's why in the book of Romans again, verse 8, chapter 8 and verse 19, he says, creation means all over the world, there is a travail, there is a groaning, there is a yearning for the manifestation of the sons of God. Who are the sons of God? According to the scripture that we have read today, Luke 18, it means the elect of God. So Jesus is saying, will he, the Son of Man, when he comes, will he really find faith? It is time to check your faith and my faith, even as the Apostle Paul warned in some place in Corinthians, and he says to them, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. It is the same weight with which Jesus is expressing concern to say, will the Son of Man find faith? Which means, what kind of faith are you standing on? Is it a feeble faith that doubts? Is it a feeble faith that depends on what you see, what you hear, and what you're feeling? Or will it be the quality faith that is focused and that is truthful, that will be able to withstand the judgment standard of the day and say, even if the world is going this way, I am ready, for I have waited upon God. You see, this kind of faith, my brother, when it speaks about focused, it is the faith that speaks about being intently waiting on God. Yes. Just like he says in Isaiah chapter 40, and he says in verse 30, he says, though the young men stumble and fall, and though the young ones may fall down, he says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What does this mean? They that wait upon the Lord. They that wait. That word wait is the word in the Hebrew Kabbalah. This word that speaks about intently focused. The word wait there is from where we get the word of a waiter, as in a restaurant, as in an eating place. You find a waiter standing by to serve you. Now, when a waiter stands by to serve you, even after putting things on the table, the waiter does not go away forever. The true waiter, the trained waiter, will keep on coming onto you to wait on you. He'll keep on disturbing you. She'll keep on disturbing you and saying to you, is everything okay? Is everything going up? That's the principle of the waiter that Jesus, or rather that the Word of God, is using right here. So this is the kind of faith that Jesus is looking forward to meet when he returns. The faith of those that wait, that intently engages with God, just like the waiter engages with the people he's serving. God is saying, they that wait on the Lord, which means they that follow the Lord, they that press in unto the Lord, they that keep on asking God. Can you imagine this? Saying to God, Daddy, are you okay? Father, are you all right? Is it okay? And then he says, no, my son, I want you to walk this way. And said, Daddy, are you okay? Is it okay? He says, no, my daughter, just hold it a little bit. Go this way. Go that way. This is the kind of waiting faith. The faith of waiting is the faith of intently focusing on him, intently engaging with him. Because if you don't engage with him, your strength cannot be renewed. He says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Which means you wait on God, you are like eating on him. You are like provoking him. Do you know that many waiters that do it so well, that are so careful to engage with the people that they are serving, they are the ones that get the best tip at the end. They are the ones who receive the best tip when the payments take place. And I do believe the best tip for you and I, if we hold on with wings like eagles. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, which means they will not be like the generation that is feeding from the man-made things. No, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They will never be like a generation waiting to be parachuted onto the mountain. No, they've got strength from God. They have waited on Him, and they can go up the mountain, mount up with wings like eagles. And He says they shall run and not be weary. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the same way that God is looking and preparing that when Jesus returns, this kind of faith will be the receptor faith, that the meeting faith, the consummation faith, that as He returns, He will find in the earth. So my friend, this is not time for you and I to give up in any way. This is not the time for you and I to be discouraged in the midst of all that are happening. I hear the sound of the Spirit declaring that the storms are raging, but the eagles are rising on the wings of the storm. Yes, storms are raging, but the eagles are rising on the wings of the storm. So this is the time to clean up the channel of our faith. What is this about the channel of faith? It is Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 as we draw to the close of our program today. Let's look at it together. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. He says here to us, "For you were saved by grace through faith." You were saved by grace through faith. Now, I want you to know that saved by grace through faith, and He says, and that not of yourself. Yes, which means this is the time now for the faith that is a purified channel. Why channel? Because we are saved by grace. What grace? The grace that is revealed unto all men in Titus 2:11. The grace that brings salvation. That is revealed unto all men. Revealed unto all men. But He says you are saved by that grace, but through faith. Which means faith is the channel whereby the grace of God is channeled into individual life. You might be listening and say, "I have not yet given my life to Jesus," but I want you to know this. The grace of God is available for you. The grace of God is available for you and I, that by faith, which is the channel that God is giving us as the way of channeling the grace of God in our lives, that by faith, through faith, we can see the grace of God channeled in our lives, so that the grace of God will begin to manifest the righteousness of God in our lives. How so? Because in Titus chapter 2:11 that we refer to, He says, the grace of God that brings salvation is available unto all men. And then He says, the same grace teaches us to live godly lives away from the lusts of the world in this present time, in this present age, in this present world, which means it is not by your might and my power or the might and power, but it is by the Spirit of God working through the channel of faith, working to manifest the righteousness that is of the grace of God. He says it is not of your works, that any man should boast. It is not of our work, lest any man should boast. So in this season of all boastfulness and pride, God is saying the grace of God that brings salvation is available to you, my friend. So what time is this for us in the world as the church and as the people who hear the word such as this? This is the time to clean up the channel of your faith from every contamination. And as we clean up our channels, we receive the saving grace of God through Jesus Christ that manifests the righteousness of God in our life and through our life. So receive your portion today, my friend. Receive your portion and keep waiting. We will go on with the cleansing of the channel of faith for the manifestation of the glory of God to come. even as the waters cover the sea, all to the glory of Jesus Christ, upon whose revelation we tend to declare victory over every gate of hell, over every manifestation of evil, even in your life. You can silence everything that is not of God by receiving Jesus Christ and by declaring him Lord of all in your life. So be blessed, my friend. As we part again, we shall meet in this, our program, Destined for Glory. God richly bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.